Welcome to the fast lane where sparks are flying, engines are screaming, and rubber's burning. This is FTK Racing Podcast. Let's shift gears and jump right in. Hey everybody, what's going on? Thank you for joining me for another FTK episode. I know it's been a while. I've had a crazy last few months between moving, working as much as I do, and just trying to figure out life. We got a new dog, so that's a new adventure for us. So I do apologize. I am trying to crank out more episodes. It's easier said than done because, first off, you got to schedule, you got to find people, and find a time for myself. I have plenty of episodes that I want to do by myself, but like I said, I don't have any time. So anyways, I'm not going to ramble. One last quick thing before I do get in with my guest. I will be trying to go to the Crasherama June 18th, and I might try to record some things with a few of my race buddies down there, so I'm going to try to do that, so stay posted for that, and I'm going to take a bunch of pictures and videos for my racing page on Facebook, so you guys can keep an eye out for that. Hopefully I can make it. I wanted to go to Lake Erie, but with gas out the roof, I couldn't do it in my truck because it's way too expensive. But anyways, I'm not going to sit here and take up all the time. I'm going to turn it over to my guest. So my guest is Lacey Furno. I hope I said that right. I'm going to turn it over to her, and I'll let her introduce herself. So hey, Lacey, what's going on?
I'm good. I'm Lacey Furno. I'm from North Carolina. I race micro sprint cars. I came from outlaw carts originally. I started racing kind of late. I started racing when I was 14 years old. I started an intermediate, and then I moved up to an open for a year, and then I moved up to a micro. This is my second year in micro. And I'm super excited to be making my midget debut in about 2 weeks, I think. It is in pretty much the week, not the last week of June, but the week before that. I'm so bad with dates. That's when I'm making the midget debut. And I'm super excited. It's going to be a lot different. A lot of people are telling me it's going to be more like an outlaw cart than a micro. And I don't really know how to feel about that. I feel like I was coming from an outlaw cart, but that was also like 2 years ago. So I'm like, okay, I'm kind of nervous. But I'm pretty excited. I think it'll go good. And yeah.
Yeah, you started out a lot earlier than I did. I started, how old was I? I don't know, at least 20-something, 30 maybe.
Oh, wow.
But then I'm not racing like you. So, like, last night when you asked me when I called you, kind of give you a brief rundown of, like, what I do as racing, because it's not nearly as dedicated or intense as dirt racing like you do or some of the other guests I've had on. So what I do is called Crasheramas. So basically what you do is, say if you have like a Dodge Neon or a Chevy Cobalt, any like four-cylinder or six-cylinder passenger car, you strip the interior out. So you take the front or all the seats besides the driver's seat, all the door panels, rear seat, windows, except the windshield. That's up to you. You can leave it in if you want. And basically you go out there and run 100-lap enduro. So that's obviously 100 laps. Well, last one was 50. I wasn't in the last one, but my buddy was telling me it was 50. So you try to survive, and you usually have 100 cars on the track, depending. Sometimes it's less. And then you go from the enduro to a flagpole race, which is you start out in the middle of a track. There's a tractor tire. You drive around the tire, and then you go around the track, and then you come back into the tire again and try not to get hit by the other 30 or 40 guys coming into the tire as well. And then you do a boat and trailer race. It's a crazy redneck show pretty much, but it's a lot of fun. And like I was explaining to you, I'm trying to use it as a way to get seat time so that way if I decide to build a mini stock or something else that's going to be an every weekend car, I'm trying to just get, you know, the feel of a car, feeling of racing with other people, feeling to be on a track, so on and so forth. But yeah, that's kind of what I do, so it's not nearly as intense what you do, but it still gets pretty intense.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. I mean, it's literally, like, you have no airbags in the car. Like, one of my last races I did, I ended up crashing and hitting the wall head on. And, yeah, I had no airbag to bounce my head off of, so I had a pretty nasty concussion for a little while. but it's a lot of fun, and it gets addicting, and I'm having a really hard time with this year since I'm not racing. I'm going nuts because they already had a race last weekend. They got one coming up soon, and then there's, like, two more, and it's, like, I'm already on Facebook trying to buy a car, and it's, like, why buy a car when you're not racing? So it's a whole thing, but what made you get started in racing? Why were you interested in racing?
So, my dad, he used to race super late models, like, like way before I was born, back in the 90s, and he was good. He was a champion. He ran really good, and then he moved down here to kind of try to pursue racing and stuff, and he pretty much has done almost feels like every job. He's been a crew chief, car chief, pit crew, fab shop supervisor. Like, he's been everything.
Yeah.
And I always thought he was super cool. Like, when I was little, and people would make time, like, oh, like, what's your dad do? I was like, my dad's way cooler than all y'all. Like, he's a race car driver. And I always thought that was so cool. And then I always thought, like, my favorite driver was Montoya. I thought Montoya was so cool, like, in NASCAR. And then I started seeing, like, Kyle Larson pop up, like, in ARCA and stuff, and I thought he was so cool because, like, I don't know, usually you don't hear about a lot of dirt people, especially back then, like, a lot of dirt people are, like, Tony Stewart going to NASCAR, and I was like, that's pretty cool. And I was, and he did so good, and I was like, well, if I ever race, I want to be like him because he's really good. And so that kind of what pushed me to go in dirt racing. But my mom, she didn't really want me to race because I wanted to race since I was, like, maybe, like, five. I don't know. I want to do it forever. My mom always thought it was too dangerous and this and that, and I was trying to convince her, but she was like, no. But then my dad, he actually had a heart attack back in 2017. I want to say it's 2017, but it was 2018. I think it was 2018. It was 2017. He had a heart attack, and he's good now, but that definitely, like, kind of opened our eyes and stuff about, like, oh, wow, like, time's limited and stuff. So my mom really let me go racing so me and my dad can make a lot of memories together. And then I started racing in 2018, like, not even 6 months later. And then that was my first start at intermediate. And then I did intermediate for, like, a year and a half, and then open for a year, and now I'm in micro.
That's, you know, the coolest thing about what you said, and I've said this plenty of times on the podcast with many of my guests and myself, is the memories, like you just mentioned, is, like I said, my racing style, I guess, or the kind of racing I do is a lot different than what you do or most people, but the memories that I've had from racing, not only just my own personal ones, but my wife gets involved. My wife paints almost every single one of my cars. When we get done, I'll send you a picture of a few of them, because she did a 911 car, a 911 tribute car, and it got a lot of comments, a lot of attention and stuff, which was really cool. But so, like, when I eventually stop racing, whether it's Crash-O-Ramas or if I ever get into mini stocks or whatever I start doing, when I stop doing that, I can look back on those memories where I'm outside in the yard with my sons building the car, or my wife's helped me paint it, or whatever the situation is. And then once you get to the track, when I say personal, because obviously when I'm on the track, my wife's not with me. But so, like, just the different things you learn and remember and kind of connect. Like, that's one thing that I found out really cool about my podcast is, so, like, I've had retired NASCAR drivers on here. I've had grassroots racers on, and it doesn't really matter, I guess, from what I've experienced. Obviously, I've never been in a NASCAR. I've never raced on dirt like you have. I've raced on dirt, but not in a fast car like you have. I had a little Chevy Cobalt, so I'm only going, like, however fast. But the whole, what I'm trying to get at is, so you go from NASCAR, which is, like, the top of the top, then you have, like, you know, the next level down, and then you go down to grassroots racers, but all the way from grassroots to NASCAR, anybody that I've ever talked with, it's like, there's still a connection. Like, I've obviously never met you. I've talked to you for the first time yesterday, but we're both racers, and there's a connection there in the sense of, like, I get what you mean when you say memories. I get what you mean when you say certain things. May not to be on your level, but that's really cool what I found out about racing is it's like a giant family. No matter where you live, who you're talking to, I've had plenty of guys offer me help from Canada. Like, a guy is living in Canada. He's like, if you ever want to set up a dirt car, man, let me know. I'll try to help you. And I'm like, you don't even know me, but it's like, you're trying to help me out from Canada. So yeah, that's one of the things I found out about racing. That's like one of the coolest, aside from just racing itself. But, yeah, it's just a pretty cool tight knit family, of people, whether you see them every single day or if you don't talk to them again. If you go to a certain racetrack and you meet somebody, you hang out with them for a little while, you might not ever meet again, but you had that connection because of racing. So now you started out in the intermediate, you were saying, and now you moved up a level. So what has that been like for you? Has it been more of like a learning curve, or did you kind of just go with the motion?
Yeah, so I started in intermediate, and when I moved to an open, it wasn't that different because it's pretty much the same car, just a bigger motor, because the intermediate is a 250 dirt bike motor. I mean, a 252 stroke. And I moved up and I ran a stock 450 four stroke. Still KTM's. Still, I was a Phantom girl, so still a Phantom chassis and all that stuff. And then the biggest jump was definitely the open to wingless micro, because I felt like I got in the winged micro and I feel like I picked it up pretty fast. It took me a couple runs, but I feel like, I mean, my first wing race, I got the pole and led the first 15 laps. Like, that's pretty cool. I'm out here in the wing. But then the wingless, I looked like a chicken with its head cut off at first. I couldn't even, like, make a corner. I was like, oh, this is awful. But I like it now. I used to hate it, but I really like it now. Now I'm racing. Now I'm driving a midget, which is, like, just a way bigger wingless car. And I'm super excited about it. If you had told me that I was doing this last year, I'd be like, oh, God. I was like, that was not going to go good. But I think it'll go better this year. I definitely have figured it out a lot more, I think. And, yeah, this year it's just clicked a lot better. Like, I've been able to make laps, run up front. I mean, I think, was it two Saturdays ago? I was top four in the A main for, like, the majority of the race. Had a little trouble at the end with someone. But that just is a racing deal, you know. Can't really control it, but that's all good. Like, I feel like the wingless is a lot. It's just so different than a wing car. And then once you get a feel for it, they feel the same. It's really weird. And the wing car just feels tighter. But they're also really different. I don't know. I might make no sense right now, but, like, they...
No, I think, I've raced on dirt, but I haven't raced a sprint car or anything like you're used to. So what I'm trying to track, and now I'm just speaking off of complete shooting in the dark here, because like I said, I've never been in a sprint car. But so, like, from what I understand, so, like, if it felt tighter, is it because maybe your wing sprint car had the downforce of the wing pointed pushing down on it compared to your wingless, where you're just going in there kind of willy-nilly and riding off the rear tires instead of having it? Because you had that little wing in the front and then the one on the top. So maybe that's the difference. I don't know. I'm just completely shooting in the dark. I've never touched a sprint car.
I mean, same.
But.
Yeah, I think a lot of people told me it's because it drives off, I don't know. A lot of people said it was like the wingless drives off the right rear and the wing drives off the left rear. That's why it feels so different. But I definitely, like, the wingless, it rolls over way more. Like, the wing, I feel like you can almost go in there and let it drive itself. Because, like, it just wants to, like, be perfectly smooth. But the wingless, you gotta rip it. Like, you have to, like counter steer and all kinds of stuff. It's just because it rolls over so much on the right rear, I think. I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong. But I think that's why.
So, like, when you're going into the corner, now, I've watched plenty of dirt races. I watch them on TV all the time. I try to go to my, well, it's not local anymore because I moved away, but I had a local track I went to, and I watched those guys going in there, and it looks like you're going in wide open, and they just crank the wheel. So, and this is just what I'm seeing. So, do you go in there wide open and crank the wheel, or do you have to, like, let off the throttle, crack it, like, whip it around, and then get back on the gas? How do you go into a corner and keep it so smooth? Because it looks so easy.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. Definitely with the wing. Wing's pretty much wide open. I mean, at Millbridge and Rockfish, those are the two micro tracks I've been to. And wing, them two are wide open. Like, both corners are wide open on the fence. But wingless, it depends how the track is, honestly. Like, you can, if it's, like, super gripped up and wet, you could almost run wide open. But if it's super slicked off, it's kind of hard. But usually, like, with me, I have a bad habit, especially last year. I would look before the corner and then go. And that actually kind of makes it worse. So you just kind of have to drive it in there. And then once you feel like you're at your turning point, kind of like burp it, I guess. And then, like, let it get turned a little bit and then hit the gas to make it turn more. And then that's kind of how you do it with the wingless. And definitely when I started last year, I tried so hard to drive like a wing car. That's why I was struggling so hard. So once I kind of just threw out, like, all right, I can't drive this like a wing car. I gotta start from plan A. Like, I gotta go. And that was definitely like the biggest adjustment, because, like, you don't lift until you're turned. It's kind of a weird deal.
Yeah, I see. Like, my only dirt experience I've had, like I said, it was just in a little four banger car. And I didn't have my car set up right to begin with. So, like, when you go to these crash-ramas that I do, they have a whole set of rules you got to follow. So you got to have your car built within a specific specification. You got to have certain safety mechanisms in them, certain tires. You can't have performance tires. You can't have snow tires. You can't have low-profile tires. There's got to be a certain tread width or depth or however it works. So when I raced with the one promoter, Chuck Rush, is who I usually race with, he's pretty lenient, but he's pretty strict on that stuff. Like, he'll let you slide on some things if it's not, like, ridiculous. Like, if you come in there with adjustable ball joints and your tires are cambered and stuff like that, you're probably not going to race because it's not a stock car. It literally has to be factory stock. So when I went to this dirt track, I'm so used to thinking, okay, I need to have this kind of tire. I need to have it this way. And I knew I was going to dirt, but the rules didn't say don't bring snow tires. And I'm like, well, if I bring snow tires and they're on my car and then they say you can't race, I just took all that time and money to get this car built to go to this racetrack and now I can't race it because I put snow tires on. So I had highway tires on my car, which was ridiculous because the track was so muddy where once we started running, I had a visor on my helmet and once we started going, it's like somebody had a muddy water bottle like over my head and was just squeezing it, and it was just constantly running down my visor, so I couldn't see anything. So my very first dirt experience was, I don't want to say terrible, it was definitely an eye-opening thing, because first off, I had a bad car, which I already knew. I already knew I wasn't going to do well, because I had crap tires. Second, I wasn't anticipating how much my car was going to slide around, even going as fast as, I don't know how fast we were going. We weren't going nearly as fast as you. And then third, trying to figure out the corners and trying to maintain speed was a lot different. The second time I did it, I had better tires. I had snow tires on. The track wasn't nearly as wet. And I did a lot better until I wrecked the car 8 laps in and wrecked the whole front end of it off. So, but yeah, I get kind of what you mean on trying to figure out a track and trying to figure out how to run it. But anyways, so now you're obviously in sprint cars. Are you going to stick to sprint cars or do you think you're going to try like a late model or anything like that?
Yeah, so I'm currently, I really hope, I'm right out of my micro this year, and I'm going to finish the season out, hopefully, just the full season, wingless and, winged and non-wing, and then we're doing the midget deal, and I'm super excited about that, and hopefully, in the future, I get more midget opportunities, and I can go do that a lot more, and then slowly transfer over going midget racing full time, because that would be awesome. And then my end all goal, my big time dream is to be a World Outlaw sprint car driver. I think those are like my favorite kind of cars. Like, I think those are so cool. That's like what I want to do. So hopefully just kind of go on that path, like go from like my micro to a midget to non wing sprints. Then yeah.
So that's pretty cool, you know.
That's like my end all be all goal.
That's cool. Like, I'm kind of happy you said that in a way, because like 90% of the people, if they're trying to make racing a career that I talk to, I want to go to NASCAR, which is understandable. I mean, it's a good goal to have, and NASCAR's, a lot of people have been hating on NASCAR lately, which I don't understand, but whatever. Y'all talk crap if you want. I'm just going to watch my sport because it's what I enjoy. But anyways, most people say they want to go to NASCAR, but for to say the World Outlaws is a lot different than NASCAR, but it's still a pretty good goal to want to achieve. And it's just different and unique that you say that instead of saying, well, yeah, I want to go to NASCAR. Not that it's not done. I mean, obviously, like you were saying, I think before we started recording, you're talking about Kyle Larson went from dirt to NASCAR. I think Clint Bowyer had some dirt experience. Tony Stewart, like you were saying. So obviously it's possible, but for you to just have that goal in mind, I think is pretty cool. And hopefully you achieve it. I mean, obviously you seem like you're pretty energetic and like you're like, let's go, let's get this done. And I hope you can get there, because, you know, to be in racing and I guess not have a goal, and now once again, because I'm not to your level or some of the other people I've talked to, obviously racing gets pretty expensive. So to be in racing and then be like, I don't really know what I'm doing, I'm like, dude, that's a lot of money that you're just like, whatever, I don't know what I'm doing with it, but I'm doing this now. So like, to have a goal, I think is good. Plus that way it's going to help you keep focused. So like, if you have a bad, say 2 bad weekends in a row, either you wreck out, blow a motor, you just finish bad because of whatever reason, you're not just like, well, I'm not trying to do this, so I can just give up and I can move on to something else. But for you, you're like, I'm trying to get to the World Outlaws. So this weekend sucked. You know what? We'll go back to the drawing board. We'll tweak this. We'll tweak that. Make sure the motor is running good. Go out there and give it my best again. If you have another bad weekend, same thing. You can be like, you know what? That's like you said in the beginning. It's just a racing deal. That's how racing works. Sometimes you're really good. Sometimes you crap out in 8 laps like me. And but to have a goal in mind to focus on it, you can keep pushing and be like, you know what? Let's put this weekend behind us. We can learn from it. We can go back, watch film. You know, maybe there's something you as a driver can do differently that you weren't doing previously to get to that goal. So I think it's really cool, and like I said, I think you're the first person I've ever talked to hear they say they want to get to the Lucas Oil, or not the Lucas Oil, the Outlaw Series, compared to like NASCAR or somebody. So that's pretty neat. I hope you can get there. I'd love to run a sprint car. Those things look insane. That's why I was really interested in talking to you, because I don't think I've talked to a sprint car driver yet. I might have. I don't know. I have a terrible memory. But they look ridiculous. Like, when I watch them in person and how fast they are and just, like, it looks so easy. And I know it's not. But it's like, when you watch them, and it's like they're ripping around that corner. It's like they're going so fast. And I'm trying to compute in my brain. I'm like, how are you going through that corner basically completely sideways at, I don't know, I'm going to say like 100 miles an hour, however fast you're going. Obviously, I know it's faster, but I'm saying through a corner it might be slower. But it's like, how are you doing all that and then keep it straight and then do it again for another however many laps? It's like, it's mind-boggling to me. I haven't had that experience yet, but it's like, so that's why, like, another reason I want to reach out, because I like getting insight on different drivers. Like, I've talked to Crashorama guys like myself. I've talked to grassroots drivers that are dirt car drivers. I've talked to NASCAR drivers. And it's really cool to see all the insight from NASCAR to dirt to grassroots to just starting out. And I like to hear their mindsets and their different experiences. So that's pretty cool that you have that goal in mind. I've had, I don't think it's the same series. Is the Lucas Oil Dirt Model Series, the late model series, different than the Outlaws? I know Outlaws are sprint cars.
Yeah, I think they're like in the same like category. It's like World of Outlaw late models and then World of Outlaws. World of Outlaw sprint cars, yeah. and then the supercars or dirt cars.
I know there's Lucas Oil dirt late models, but anyways, I was trying to say is I had Devin Moran. I don't know if you might have heard of him since you're in the dirt racing scene. He's come on, and it was cool to talk to him because he runs a late model, whereas you're running sprint cars. So it's like you're still in the same genre of racing, but different, because obviously you're not running a late model in a sprint car. But it was cool to talk to him because he's running, like, I don't know what tracks you've traveled to, but he's gone to like Eldora, Bristol. I want to talk to him about Bristol because, I mean, that's a pretty crazy track as an asphalt track, but on dirt, it's like, I watch it and it's like, it looks like a big track for a dirt car. So anyways, yeah, that's just kind of another neat tie-in that you're trying to get to a level where Devin Moran's at, obviously in a different car. Speaking on traveling on racetracks, like, what are some of the coolest racetracks you've ever been on, or most challenging? Do you travel a lot when you go to races, or do you try to stay local?
I don't really travel a lot. My dad hates missing work. So I just kind of stay at a local deal. Rockfish is kind of traveling. It's about 3.5 hours away. It's in Fayetteville. I think it's Fayetteville. It's in Rayford. I think it's near Fayetteville. But that's probably the biggest place we've gone to, like, travel wise.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I know a lot of, like, Devin Moran's a little bit different situation than you're in, but, like, you know, I've talked to a few guys that raced at, like, Eldora, or they traveled to, which is crazy to me. Not crazy. I mean, it's crazy for to put in my brain because I try to stay local because obviously I'm just doing it myself. But it's like to think some of these guys that are driving, you know, 5-6 hours, however long to get to a racetrack. So I was just wondering, you know, I was just curious if you were ever doing that. But then again, like you said, it's part of the racing deal. If you want to be in it to get to the sprint, you know, the Outlaws, like you're trying to get, you kind of, I don't want to say have to, but you kind of do have to. Like, I mean, it's your choice, obviously. If you want to go out there, it's your choice. But I'm saying if you want to get more seat time, more experience, and put yourself up against better competition, not that I'm saying your local drivers aren't good, but it's like if you want to step it up, you might have to branch out a little bit more where you're going to run up against guys that might be been running for years, you know, and which could be scary but good because you're going to push yourself that much more harder. You're going to be like, okay, I just got passed by 3 cars just now. What am I doing wrong? And then, you know, either like in a practice for a situation. Say, like, if you're in a practice situation, you saw that happen, and those guys, say, have years and years and years of experience, and you're out there starting out or trying to get to where you're going, you can stop and either look at your car, figure out what you're doing, or watch film or something and be like, okay, this guy's doing a certain thing that way. Maybe I'll try it. And that's giving you the drive to be better, so that way when you go back out there for real, you know what you're doing, you can get your car dialed in, you're going to give it 110% whether you come in first or you come in 10th. I was just curious on, what tracks do you have in mind that you would like to get to at some point? Like Eldora, like maybe even Bristol, like is there any tracks that you have in mind that you want to try to race on?
Yeah, so micro-wise, I'm not too sure. Probably in a micro, I would say like Lanco or Port City. But in the midget, I really want to go to Kokomo and Fairbury. I think those are two really cool tracks. And Kokomo, that one's kind of, I feel like everyone likes Kokomo. But a lot of people don't like Fairbury. Like a lot of people I know. And I was like, I think Fairbury's cool. I could be completely wrong. But like I'm going on iRacing. It's a lot tighter and like smaller. And it's like cowboy up. Like you can't mess up there. I think that's a really cool track. I would love to go there in a midget. But I think, like, in a sprint car, Eldora would be super cool in Knoxville. And, like, all, like, the places that are, like, known for being really good sprint car places, I think those would be really cool tracks to go to. But, yeah, I mean, they're all really cool. I mean, Millbridge, it's right on the fence. Like, so I'm kind of – I feel like I have a little bit of experience just, like, at Millbridge, you have to hit the wall to be fast. So I feel like I've got a little bit of experience doing that. So I feel like tracks that are, like, on the fence, I like the most just because it kind of reminds me of Millbridge, and I think I would like to go tracks like that.
I haven't been to any of those tracks. I've heard about them. I think Devin Moran's talked about Fairbury a few times. I'd like to go to Eldora. I want to go to Eldora at least once, either watch dirt cars or the, I don't know what it's called now. The World Camping Truck Series or whatever for NASCAR.
Oh, yeah.
They run over there. I'd like to watch them, but I mean that's like a pipe dream right now because I'm so busy with my own personal life. I don't think I can cut out a chunk of time to go there, but I'd like to go there at some point. So now that we're talking about different tracks and different things like that, who are some of the toughest drivers or either toughest or, let me try to think, I'm trying to think how to word it, like, larger caliber drivers. Like, I don't want to say famous, but, like, who are some of, like, the toughest and, like, most popular guys I think you've ever ran with? Where you're like, I can't believe I'm racing with so-and-so. Like, so we'll just throw Kyle Larson out, for example. Like, if you're sitting in your car and you know you're on the same racetrack with Kyle Larson, is there anybody similar? Like, have you ever had, like, a similar thing like that? I mean, I'm sure it's not Kyle Larson, but, you know what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, actually, it's Kyle Larson. He raced at
Really?
Millbridge a few times. Yeah, they got a whole deal now at Millbridge. Chad Boat, he does, like, the Toyota stuff. So there's a bunch of Toyota drivers there. And then I think Zeb Wise is doing all the Chevy drivers. So, like, you'll see, like, I mean, like, Brandon Jones is there. Last week, Corey Heim was there. Carson Hosevar. I can see all their faces, but I'm blanking out all their names.
I'm the same way.
C-Bell, he's been there a few times. He was there a lot first, but he hasn't been back in a couple weeks. But a lot of, like, NASCAR drivers are coming around. Nemechek, he's been there a few times. Just, like, with that whole, like, Toyota and Chevy development deal, it's super cool being able to race with them because you know they're good. So if you're able to run with them, it kind of makes you feel good about yourself. Like, I think the one that's been there the most is probably Jesse Love. He's there usually week in, week out. But, if you can run with those guys, it's like, wow, like, you think you're doing something right if you're able to run with them. And then, like, last week, there was that big midget race, and Frank Flood was there. He's a really good micro racer. And people like that are always there. And then you'll have, like, random midget drivers here and there. Like, Sam Johnson was there, and Caden Brown was there in the C-Bell car. And there's been more. It's just, like, there's just so many. It's, like, it's kind of hard to remember all of them.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, Melbourne's just huge, like, down here. It's, like, they're on Dirt Vision and all that. So it seems like it grows by the day. Like, with Wingless, there's probably 45 cars on a weekly event, like, on a Wednesday. And half of them are, like, NASCAR drivers. So it's a little sketchy. It's a little scary, but,
Yeah, I could...
Then you know you're doing something right.
I could see how it could be kind of intimidating. I mean, especially... Like, I don't know many of the other drivers that you mentioned, much of their dirt background, but, like, one guy that I always turn to is Kyle Larson, because, first off, he's a wheel man, no matter what you put him in. Anything I've watched him in on YouTube, obviously just on TV, I've never hung out with him, but it's like, I've seen him in dirt, you know, the late model, sprint cars, midgets, NASCAR. It's like, no matter what you put that guy in, he's out there ripping and tearing on it, and he's usually up front, so it's like... I couldn't imagine, and won the 2021 championship, I mean, for NASCAR, which is, like, obviously we were saying, the top of the top. So I can't imagine trying to put myself in a headspace, whether you're either at the same track with him, or if you're running, because I don't know if you're running in the same series, because isn't he running a sprint? He does midgets too, though, doesn't he? He does both. But anyways, to put yourself in a headspace to where you're thinking, okay, I want to go out there and drive good, but yet, you know, Kyle Larson's out there somewhere, you know, like, I couldn't even put myself, like, if I'm sitting in a car and I'm racing around a track and I say, I know there's a NASCAR champion driving around here somewhere, I would, like, I'd want to do good, but it almost, like, freaked me out in a way, because it's like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. Like, you think you're doing good, but then you're like, here comes Kyle Larson. You're like, that dude's a national dirt champion. He's a NASCAR champion. Like, and then here I am, like, just trying to get my foot in the door. I don't know how you even put yourself. Have you ran against him, or have you just seen him on the track?
Yeah, I've raced with him a few times. I don't remember. He used to have an outlaw car, too. He used to run Millbridge in an open outlaw car, too, all the time, but... I don't remember if I ever ran him in those. I know I raced Carson Macedo in an outlaw car a few times in Kyle's car. But I ran heat races with Kyle, and it's, like, it's crazy, like, watching him. Like, if he starts in front of you, like, he can, like, kind of, like, follow. I like when he starts in front of me so you can follow him. But if he's behind you, you, like, you kind of just expect he's coming. And I just remember, like, 2 weeks ago, I was in a heat race, and I was, like, I was in the back. I don't remember why. I was in the back for some reason. And there was, I was kind of stuck behind these two people. I was like, I can't even, like, go anywhere. There's one person on the top. There's one person on the bottom. Like, I don't know. Like, I just got to play, like, follow the leader. And then here comes Kyle. He's just, like, way in the middle. Like, none of us are moving. I'm like, oh, okay. I should have done that. But I was like, oh, yeah. He's super good at what he does. Like, it's insane. I'm, like, I'm really glad he's racing there, because I've definitely learned a lot just really from watching him and stuff. And probably one of the craziest thing is, like, I remember being in the B main, like, at the beginning of the year, this is, like, the first B-Main I had been in all year, and I was, like, it was, like, Sheldon Creed, Brett Moffitt, Tyler Reddick, that was, like, the entire, like, front row, then me. I was, like, all right.
Yeah.
And, like, top two transfer, I was, like, this is kind of sad. But I did pretty good. I think I ended up being third, so it was all right.
Hey, that's not bad. I mean,
yeah,
if you're running...
B-Main I had
if you're running with those guys and you're coming in third, I mean, in my book, that's good. I don't know if that's good in the dirt racing scene on the level that you're at, but if you're telling me you're running against Tyler Reddick and Kyle Larson and all these other dudes, and you're saying, yeah, I got third, I'd be like, so why aren't you, like, super pumped about, you know, like, that's, in my book, that's really cool, because obviously those are top-notch drivers, and you came in third. I'd be pretty pumped. I mean, that's cool. That's another memory that you can say that you tie into racing, that you have raced with some of the top guys from NASCAR and were competitive instead of just getting completely blown out of the water. I had another question. Oh, Haley Deegan, has she ever been around? Have you raced with her?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I told her. I was forgetting everyone. Like, yeah, she has her own mic, right? She was racing for, I think she's at the first three races. Her and Chase both, they've been racing at Millbridge. Like, if you mention someone, they've probably been there. Like, it's insane how much it's grown. So I remember, like, when they first started coming there, there wasn't that many. But, like, I think, like, the first, like, NASCAR driver ever to race at Millbridge in a micro, I think it was Chase Elliott. Because he came, like, originally, like, right when it started. But then he has, I don't think, that was before the midget race the first year. But yeah, like, Haley's raced there, Chase's raced there. And they've done really good. Like, they're all, like even, like, it's like, they're not from dirt and stuff. Like, they did start out in dirt. They all run super good and super competitively. So it's really fun racing with them because, like, you know they'll be clean. Like, they know what they're doing. So
yeah,
it's really fun racing with all of them.
Well, she's got kind of a dirt background, I guess, you have to kind of count the, like, the trophy trucks and the stadium trucks and stuff that, like, her and her dad, I don't know if any of her brothers are doing it, but I know Brian Deegan races, those Pro 4 trucks or whatever they're called, I was just wondering, because I've been trying to kind of keep track of her, because I know that she's trying to get to NASCAR, I think, and she's, I mean, I was just trying to think. I think she went through ARCA already. I don't know. But either way, I was just curious because I know that she runs a dirt midget. And I don't know what tracks y'all are running at or who's running where. But I know that she does do it. So I was just curious on if you've ever been around her or raced with her. Because that's another cool thing I think about it too. And then, like I was telling you, is why I wanted to reach out, is because she's another woman driver. There's nothing wrong with women race car drivers, and I think there's, like, a weird, and I'm just speaking off speculation, but I think there's, like, a weird cloud around women driver for some reason. Like, I know, like, on the road, there's, like, a thing where, like, oh, she's a woman, she can't drive. Like, if you see a car accident, people are like, oh, it's probably a woman driver, you know, like, how people are. And so there's, like, a weird cloud around, like, women drivers, and it kind of makes me frustrated because it's like, so you're telling me that just because she's a girl means that she can't go out there and race, you know, whatever car you're trying to get in, whether it's a sprint car, a late model, a street stock, a little four banger like I got. So you're trying to tell me just because she's a woman that she can't race. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I have raced with, like, one or two girls, I think. I don't know them personally. I just know they were on the track. But it's like, I'm all for it. I know there's some people where it's like, don't let women into racing. And it's, why? I don't understand why you're telling me that. Like, what if she's, like, one of the best, like, whoever it is. I don't know who it could be, but whoever it is, why are you telling me not to give her an opportunity compared to the next dude is standing in line? Like, I don't get it. So that's, like, why another reason why I want to reach out to you, because there's so many few drivers that I know of that are women. Like, I know, obviously, you now, there's Haley Deegan. I know there's Jennifer Jo Cobb, Natalie Decker. There's a couple more. I can't think of their names. I had what's her name? I had her on the show I was telling you about last night. Danita Hines. That was her. She was 13, and she races dirt. It's like a mini stock, I think. But as soon as, like, I saw her, I was like, that's really cool. First off, she's 13, which I'm like, racing at 13 is crazy. When I was 13, I was probably, I don't even know what I was doing. So I was like, that's cool. Plus, she's a girl, so I want to talk to her because I'm sure she faces, and I'm sure you have faced challenges. Same with some of the professional women drivers of being a girl in a prominently male sport. But that's kind of why I wanted to reach out, because it's like, you might have a disadvantage on the fact of they think they're going to be better than you, so they're going to treat you, and I'm just speaking off of speculation. I'm not saying this is what goes on. I'm just trying to put it into my brain. But they're almost going to look down on you just because you're a girl, which, like I said before, I don't understand. But you could go out there and be like, you just blew the doors off that guy, and you're all of a sudden he's like, oh, you can drive. So you're just telling me that she's a girl, so she can't drive. But anyways, so that's why I wanted to reach out as well, because I wanted to get your insight on what it's like to be a woman driver in some of these races with, you know, I don't know what some of the guys that are like that you race against, but I didn't know if you faced any challenges, if you ran up against anybody that's going to completely just beat and bang on you because you are a girl. So, like, how has that been in the sense of the male dominant sport?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely there sometimes. Like there's a lot of people, like, there's like, oh, no, you know. But I would definitely say, like, as dumb as this sounds, like, a 12 to, like, 14-year-old boy usually does not want to get beat by a girl. So they might beat you up a little bit, but it's, like, it's all good. Like, I mean, they're little kids. Like, they don't really know. But I think, like, because there's just so, like, little girls in it, I think it gets distributed out less. Like, yeah. I feel like if there's, like, 20 girls, they'll be hating on, like, on all 20. And, but there's three, it's the same amount of hate, just more directed towards the three. So I definitely had my fair share of weird moments being a girl. But, like, I remember in intermediates, I won a lot. I think I won 9 times in an intermediate. And I always thought I was cheating. Like, I was like, oh, you're just cheating and all this stuff. But I was like, well, then tear me down. Like, if you think I'm cheating, tear me down. And then I never would. So I think it, like, they'll think it, but a lot of people won't say it. But then, like, once you start beating them, it's like, all right, you're doing something. Like, but it's definitely fun, though. Like, I mean, like, I don't think any, like, the, like, development drivers, I don't think any of them view me like that, or, like, people my own age, really. I mean, there's definitely, like, there is a few, I bet. Like, I can think of a few, but, and there's some people I know, like, I probably should try to pass them on the outside. I might go flying to the next track.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just depends, honestly. Like, there's some moments where it's like, all right, I mean, I get I'm a girl, but, like, get over it. But I try not to view that. Like, I never go to, like, the track thinking, like, I want to be the best girl. I just want to be the best, like, one there. Like, I mean, I'm not always going to be the best one there. Clearly, at Millbridge, I'm definitely not going to be the best one there. But I definitely have the mindset of I want to be, if I'm not the best, I want to be one of the best.
Yeah.
So,
no, see, they
definitely there a little bit.
Which, I don't understand it, like I was just saying. I mean, like, I know I have, like, I don't know them personally. I know there have been girls on the racetrack that I've raced with. And the way my brain works is, if I'm racing the crash dramas like I do, or if I get into a mini stock or a sprint car or dirt late model, whatever, if I ever get to any of those cars and there's a woman driver out there, the way my brain works is, it's just another driver. Like, I'm not going to look at you any different or treat you on the track or off out of the track any different than I would anybody else. I would race you like I would expect you to race me. Like, if I came in and I'm beating and banging on you, and then you come around beating and bang on me, I kind of expect that. But if you come into a turn or you're racing with somebody, guy, girl, doesn't matter, and you're respectful, that's the way my brain works. So, like, even if it's, say, like I said, I have been on the track with girls. I don't pay attention to what their cars look like, so I'm not, like, targeting them. But I'm like, if I come up to one of them and I know there's a girl there, I'm gonna race her the same as I'm gonna race the guy in front of him or in front of her or the guy behind me. Like, I'm not gonna come in there and slam her door just because she's a girl. Like, if it happens because I got hit, hey, I can't control that, but I'm not gonna just go in there and dump her because she's a woman, or I'm gonna come in there and door check her all the way through the turn because she's a woman. I'm just gonna go through there, try to give as much space as possible, and try to keep myself clean and be fast at the same time. That's how I think, because first off, we're all racing. We want to have, you know, we want to have fun. We don't want to wreck our stuff. And second, it doesn't matter to me. Like, it's a weird, like I said, it's a weird cloud around it. Like, I don't care if you're a girl or a guy. If you want to go racing, like, if my daughter, she's only 3 right now, but if she ever comes up to me someday and says, Dad, I want to go racing, I'm going to be like, let's do it. I'm going to go, I'll go get you a car right now, or I'll go build you a go-kart or something. If that's what you want to pursue in life, I'm all for it. And, you know, it's, so that's why, that's, you know, like I said, I don't know. It's weird, but that's why I wanted to reach out as well, because I, like you said, I don't, you don't think it's distributors enough as being a woman driver, where I think it should be just the same as any other driver, because it's racing. I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't care if you're a guy or a girl. You're racing. That's what we're all here for. When I go to the racetrack to watch race cars, I don't go to the racetrack to watch one specific guy. I mean, maybe sometimes, but it's like, if there's a girl driver that's on fire, like if she's killing it every weekend and she's getting more and more experience, like, yeah, maybe I'll go to watch. I'm like, that's cool, because she's probably had to work through that because of some of the crap that you've probably, I'm sure, dealt with, and some of the other women drivers. But it's like, to me, it's cool. I think seeing women drivers is cool because there's not many, and I'd like to see more of them, because everybody, if you, like I said, if you want to go racing, everybody deserves that shot to at least try it, whether it's go-karts, NASCAR, drag racing, because I know there's some women in drag racing. Doesn't matter. If you want to do it, go give it a shot. I don't care if you're a guy, girl, not, whatever. That's just how my brain works. So that's kind of, like I said, why I wanted to touch base with you, because you don't see too many of them. And I'm like, I was just scrolling through We Love Racing Facebook, and I saw, like, I stopped because I saw you, and I was like, I don't know who this is, but I'm like, it's a girl driver, so I'm going to check her out. And then I was like, well, maybe she'll want to come on the show, so I'll just give it a shot, because, like I said, I think, you know, it needs to be heard more and talked about that there are women drivers out there, and, you know, yeah, some of them may not be that good. There's also a lot of guy drivers that aren't that good, but then there's a lot of women drivers, like Haley Deegan, as far as, like, professional I can think of, she's a woman driver. There's Jennifer Jo Cobb, was in the Aspen Craftsman series, Truck Series. She's a woman driver. It's that stuff to get to those levels aren't easy. So, I know I'm going on a rant, but it's like, once I get kind of fired up sometimes, I just go. But yeah, I think it's really cool. I think it's really cool that you're giving it your shot, and that I hope it does work out, because, like I said, if that's your dream, go for it. And because if you don't, you're probably going to sit there one day and think, what would have happened? Would I have made it to the Outlaw Series, or would I have crapped out and just not done anything with it and gave up? But you're not going to have that thought process, because you're going to be like, you know what? I went out there, gave it my shot, and I made it, or I made it my shot, and I did my best, and it's not in the cards. But then at the same time, we can turn around, like we were saying before, and you have all those memories of the different tracks, with your dad, some of your friends that you raced with, some of the NASCAR drivers you've been up against. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like I said, I get my brain all wonky when I get fired up, but I think it's cool. I think it's cool, and I hope you can get to where you want to go. That's what I think.
Opportunities if you're a girl and stuff, which it's kind of not true, because then people think you have more opportunities, so then, like, kind of like lesser offers, so it's like kind of have to overlook for it in a way. But I mean, it's part of the deal. Like, you just kind of gotta make it work. I mean, I've never really looked into it that much. I feel like less I look into it, I feel like less I'll think about it, like being a girl and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think everyone, like, once you have your helmet on, you're racing. Like, I mean, you can probably see my helmet from a mile away because it's zebra, but I'm so flighty. Like, I don't even remember what people's cars look like half the time. Like, and I've raced these people for years. And
yeah.
I don't have any people like I like target. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna wreck them. Honestly, I don't think I've ever wrecked anyone on purpose before, or like ever. Like, I mean, I've definitely done stuff that looks like I did on purpose, but that was just me like messing up. Like, I've definitely made my mistakes before, like wrecking people. But I definitely would never go out on track and be like, my goal is to wreck someone. So.
Yeah,
I try to race everyone with respect, and hopefully they give it back. And this year, I feel like they have. There's been a few run-ins, I feel like, that were, like, kind of, like, I kind of got done dirty, but I think it was just, like, a racing deal. Like, they didn't see me or something, because, I mean, when you're racing a micro, there's a lot of blind spots. And if you don't saw the slider, they might not see you on your outside. So, it happens, you know, but I think the like, I don't know. I don't really know how I'm going with that, but yeah.
No, I kind of get what you mean. I mean, and it's the same, even if it's a guy, like, I've gone out, I've raced, I don't know, I can't keep track, but, like, even, because, like I said, my style racing is just kind of for fun. We all just kind of do it, whatever. Like, yeah, we get competitive, but it's, like, it's not, like, if I tear up my car, I just scrap it and get a new one because I didn't dump thousands of dollars into it. I maybe put $100 worth of paint into it or, you know, whatever. So, it's not a big deal, but like I said, I have that mindset, like, where I've gone in, and because my style of racing is pretty rough. It's called Crash-O-Rama, so there is beating and banging. There is, you know, that's just part of it. But I have gone into turns, and we did a kidney bean race. So you had a dog leg in the middle of the track, so, like, you go around the regular oval, and then you come into the kidney bean and come back out. And I was following behind one dude. I've raced with him a few times now, and I wouldn't say we're, like, great friends, but he's like a track buddy, I guess. I don't know. It's weird. But I was following him, and because there was a car. So, like, and that's another thing about my racing is, like, things, and it may happen anywhere, any type of racing, but I was going, it happens on a dime. So, like, I was going through the dog leg, and I was following behind him, and all of a sudden, everybody just scattered. They were just gone. Like a bunch of cockroaches when you turn a light on. They were just gone. All of a sudden, I look up, and there's a car head on facing me. So I was like, oh, crap. So he went right, and I followed him, and I thought he was hopping on the gas. So I gave it gas, and I just plowed into the rear end of him because he stopped. But what I'm trying to get at is I didn't mean to do that. And I try to always make it a point, like, when I go into the pits, like, if I hit somebody on accident or, like, if I got loose or somebody hit me and I slid up and I door checked him or whatever, I always try to go in and be like, hey, dude, I really didn't mean to hit you. And 90% of the time, they either say they don't care or it's like, I didn't even know you hit me. And it's like, I'm just trying to give that respect, even though it's just hobby style racing, because it's like, I don't want to go out there and have that weird, like, that weird vibe between another guy. Like, is he going to come up and wreck me now because we weren't, you know, we had words in the pits, or is he going to try to hit me on purpose or whatever? Because I want to be able to focus and drive. I don't want to be focusing and all of a sudden think, Where's car 54? Is he going to hit me? Like, I just want to focus on what I'm doing. And so I feel like if you try to give that respect in the sense of being like, hey, I screwed up. I got into you a little bit. I'm sorry. Like, can I help you fix your car? Can I, you know, do you need tools, whatever? Because I feel like it's going to be a lot smoother, not only for the track, but also your own mental state. Like, if you're focused on what you're doing, you're going to do what you need to do. But if you're focused on what you're doing, but then a car comes up and you're like, is that, okay, that's not them. And then next thing you know, you're all wonky because you're not paying attention. So no, I get what you mean. I mean, probably a little bit different. Obviously, you're a girl. I don't know the things you've gone through, but I guess the whole long end game of this is, like, if I could give any advice, which I'm not very good at it, and it is what it is, but I would just be like, I think you're already there. You're just kind of like, whatever. It is what it is. If you don't like me, I don't really care. I'm still going to race. And I probably, if I beat you, it's just going to be funny. But just to do it, like, just, even if you have those guys that are like, oh, you're a girl, blah, 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 you know, girls, either A, ignore them, or just be like, all right, well, you know, is that saying, run your car, run not, run your mouth. So just keep at it. Like, that's like I said, I wanted to reach out because I think it's cool that you're out there giving it your shot, and you've probably taken a lot of crap before from people, and you're still here, you're still going at it, and it don't matter, you know? So, I know I went on a whole long tangent, and I'm not really making any sense, but once my brain gets going, but anyways, we're pretty much done, out of time here. I had a great time talking with you. I was really good to get to know you. And to hear your different racing experiences from your start out and you're the very beginning to where you're at now and where you want to go. Hearing some of the cool drivers you raced against, you know, like a lot of those NASCAR drivers, that was pretty cool. But it's been a lot of fun. Before we go, is there anything you want to promote? Is you got like a YouTube or a racing page or anything?
Yeah, so all my social medias are LacyFerno67, LacyFerno67. That's I'm I'm on TikTok. I mean, I'm on TikTok a lot. So TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. My YouTube's Lacey Furno. Yeah, just look up Lacey Furno. I don't think that's a common name. So if you see it, it's probably me. So yeah, if y'all want to check me out on social media, that'd be cool. I have a website and stuff like that. Also, my media guy, Limeade, he's always posting something cool. He's just getting on TikTok, so check him out on TikTok if you want to see some cool videos. Like, he makes me look bad at TikTok, and I post on TikTok 24/7. So go check something cool out, check him out, and yeah.
All right, guys. All right, hang on for a second. Lacey, I'm going to talk to you really quick. Guys, I do one thing I wanted to mention in the beginning of the episode, and I forgot to because I went scatterbrained, was I had a mic problem. So if the audio is a little weird, I apologize. My mic wasn't working, and I wanted to get the show going. So I made a compromise for recording. So I do apologize for that. But, yeah, like always, you know, go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you watch your show. If you like my show, please leave me a comment or rate it, whatever you think it's worth. Helps me grow it. I know I've been kind of quiet for a while, and I'm trying to get back into it. And then my racing page, if you want to join the racing page, FTK Racing, Corey Marshall. I'm trying to get back on there as much as possible. But I thank you guys for your time, and I'll check you guys out in the next one. Alright guys, that's it for this episode. I appreciate your support of my podcast, and stay tuned for the next episode to come.